Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media Station.
The city is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Presión, insiste, España. Gol de España, gol de Isco.
Casi sin ángulo ya, Iago Aspas llega por detrás, Isco le va a pegar en carrera.
¡Opa!
¡Gol de España! Iago dentro del área, la pone para Isco, Isco le pega.
¡Bueno!
¡Madre de mi vida! ¡Seis! ¡Media docena! ¡Hat-trick de Isco!
Enough already, we can't take anymore. Absolute annihilation of Argentina. Ripping them apart. Isco hat-trick, Spain 6, Argentina 1, which has got people questioning if there really is going to be a run for Argentina in this World Cup. We can talk about that. We're fresh off the blitz. Some of you blitzers, I hope, are sticking around. I'm looking out the window here in studio. Man, it is ominous. And having a few Hurricane Harvey flashbacks here. Not a good night to be out if it begins to rain heavy here. Tonight we recap the international window, all these friendly matches, what we may glean out of them for the World Cup. Pumped up for this summer, though. I mean, this is a World Cup year. Every single day there are little tidbits about the World Cup. It's getting exciting, and I hope you're excited for it. 6-1, Spain over a Messi-less Argentina. Brazil 1-0 over Germany. That probably was good for the soul of Brazilians. For Germany, I don't think it's but a blip. Germany made 7 changes. This summer, you're going to be able to catch all the games on Fox. The odds are in for the World Cup now. It's Germany 4-1, Brazil 5-1, France 11-2, Spain 13-2, Argentina at 7-1. I was going to say, frankly, any one of these nations could win the World Cup, but after that performance from Argentina, I don't know. Determining factors are the draw, injuries, good fortune, form, fate, performance of game changers, tactics. There's so many things that go into this. Remember, it's a small tournament. It's a short tournament to determine the best team in the world for the next 4 years. There is no event like it. It's the biggest sporting event on the planet. Anybody can call and try to debate me on that. You will not win. But there's so many contributing factors coming into this. They're great storylines. Yes, Messi trying to win the World Cup with Argentina is one. Cristiano Ronaldo with Portugal always is one. He's scoring goals again. Brazil now in form. And by the way, does Brazil even need Neymar? Quite frankly, Brazil is stacked. England's far more representative as a team that I think can go places, I think, dependent upon Harry Kane and his injury situation and his fitness. You got underdogs like Egypt and Mo Salah who are capable of upsets. You got Mexico and Chicharito. Chicharito, I think, appeared for his 100th time last night for Mexico. So it was a big moment for him, although Mexico loses to Croatia 1-0, and I think there's some panic in the land of Juan Carlos Osorio. What do you think, Mexican fan? Germany, Thomas Müller and company. I mean, Germany could put two teams into this. It's Germany's to lose, I believe. And we can go on and on. Lots of storylines. Here's one. The United States will not be there, nor will Holland, nor will Chile, nor will Ghana and other great soccer-playing nations. Now, on the heels of the U.S. not being there, it has led to an amazing opportunity, and that was youth against Paraguay last night. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I would like your thoughts on that. What is your favorite storyline or your biggest storyline? Could be a player, could be a country, could be your team, could be off the field in Russia. What is your biggest storyline going in to the World Cup this summer, and where do you want to go with that? 713-780-3776. Biggest storyline heading into the World Cup in Russia this summer, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. The number to call in again, 713-780-3776. Hit me up on Twitter throughout the show, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook Soccer Matters is blown up with the response. I put a picture up of Tigres and Chivas. Sold-out stadium, BBVA Compass Stadium this past weekend. I put the question out there also. What will it ever take to get consistent crowds like that? We got excuses. We got great commentary on it. Lots of differing opinion, but it absolutely blew up my Facebook page. So how can we ever get consistent passion like that? Tigres and Chivas sold it out for a game that absolutely meant nothing. Certainly was a good day for promoters. No question about that. Champions League quarterfinals coming up April 3rd and 4th. We'll talk about them. How can you not be excited about these matchups? Sevilla, Bayern, Juventus, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester City, Barcelona, Roma. How can you not be excited about that? In the world of the Dynamo, Wilmer Cabrera, Matt Jordan get their contracts extended to 2020. That's based on a wonderful year they had last year, revamping the product and getting into the playoffs. Today they acquired Jared Watts for $100,000, I believe, in TAM money. That's for depth at the center back position. My concern is the right back position and at the striker position. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's start it off with Corey tonight. Corey, what's on your mind?
Hey, bud. First time caller. I was just listening to your little segment about the international friendlies that happened over the weekend. And I don't think Argentina can, even with Messi. I don't know if you saw Diego Costa's comment that he said Argentina saw what they are without Messi. I don't think they're in the running. I think Spain, people are sleeping on Spain. I like their midfield play. That's about what I got, and I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that Costa soundbite and quote. That was a good one. So thank you very much for being a first-time caller, Corey, and pointing that out. Wow, that's pretty compelling. Diego Costa says, now Argentina can see what they are without Messi. Woof. It was a beatdown. I mean, they were turned chasing towards their own goal. They were pulled all over the place. They looked a mess. There's one play where they were so soft with the ball in the back that Iniesta just nipped in and won it. It led to a goal. Isco hits for a hat trick. Argentina fans, come out from under the bushes now and get out from under the table. Let's hear from you. 713-780-3776 is the number. Wednesday, it's Liverpool, Manchester City. Oof, do people have thoughts on that one as well? So let's we talked about Spain 6-1 Argentina. Brazil 1-0 over Germany. 22 match unbeaten streak for Germany comes to an end. Gabriel Jesus, his header, the difference. 7 changes to Germany from their match against Spain. This is good for Brazil after the 7-1 demolition in the last World Cup to Germany. So in some ways you can say you maybe exercised a few demons. It's good psychologically for Brazil. And I think the cleansing now for me is complete. Brazil has ridiculous talent. Brazil's a real contender. They're one of the teams that may be holding the trophy up. But that was a massacre at the last World Cup in 2014 in Mineiro. That could have been 10 goals, which was even more amazing on that day. I've also got tickets to give away Friday night. It's the Houston Dash. Saturday night, it's the Dynamo Revolution. So I got tickets to both of them. What's not to like about Brazil? Stability in goal. Dani Alves and Marcelo, that's the best attacking pair of outside backs in the world. Thiago Silva and Miranda at center back. Casemiro, kind of a screen. The balance has been achieved by Tite. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Ed. Ed, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, no, thanks for taking the call. First time I'm calling in, first time listening in the slog, going home in the rain. We watched the men's national team last night, and a group of us were watching it, and the question came up, given some of the difficulties of the men's team, could they actually beat the women's team? So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Who brought that question up? How many drinks did he have?
Plenty.
Why would it? I mean, first of all, I'm glad you're a first-time caller. I'm just a little bit confused. Watching that game, that's what came out of it? Could the men's
team? Not specifically that game, but if we're talking about the World Cup and the fact that we didn't make it this year and we've got such high hopes for that men's national team with some of the talent that have come in it, but there's been significant talent that's been in it before, could they, in like an exhibition match, who would win? That was what the conversation was.
Yeah, that's a dumb conversation. Honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to be harsh to you, but it's just stupid. I mean, if that's the best you can come up with. Anyway. All right, thanks for being a first-time caller. Not much I can say to that. They're two different teams, they're two different genders. It's a stupid argument. Let me go back to U.S. Paraguay last night. Energy, enthusiasm, a look into the future. And again, that game and Zach Steffen playing and Cameron Carter-Vickers and Matt Miazga and Will Trapp and Marky Delgado and some of these guys, you're thinking about the people that aren't there as well. Pulisic, Sargent, McKinney was not able to play. There was a whole bunch of guys on the bench that didn't play. That was refreshing last night. Honestly, that was one of the most refreshing games I've seen from the U.S., strictly because of the youth, the desire, the passion, the pride to play for the jersey. And I got to tell you, I think once the U.S. get a general manager, that's going to come up in probably 5 to 8 weeks. And once a new national team coach is put in place, I think it is time to develop a plan and very, very meticulously look at the guys that need to be phased on and phased on quickly that aren't going to be playing in the next World Cup. And that's going to be some legendary players. But it needs to happen. I think the sooner the better that happens, because you give more opportunity to blood these young guys. It's time to move this thing into overdrive and accelerate the development of these guys. I know a lot of people are critical of Dave Sarokin last night for not giving more minutes to some of these younger players. What did you say? Let's go to Dale. Dale, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you, Dale.
You know, we have USA out, and I'm an Italian family, from an Italian family. Italy's out of the World Cup. You know, Chile, even though they won the Golden Cup a couple years back, and you know, I'm having a hard time getting as excited as I normally am as the past, you know, 12 years of watching the World Cup. You know, what are some of the younger teams that I could really be looking out for? I know Sweden and Colombia are something to be watching, but
Colombia is always a good watch. I think this is a better England team, dependent upon how healthy and how quickly, you know, how Harry Kane will be, because he's such a big piece of that team. You know, Argentina with Messi after the demolition yesterday, you know, how does this man handle that? France is stacked full of talent, top to bottom talent. I don't know if they're mature enough yet to win the World Cup, but man, they are stacked with talent. Spain is still there again. A couple of dark horses. I would keep an eye on the Serbias and the Croatias of the world. These are tough human beings, but with some very talented players. Brazil is back. I don't think there's any question about that. Egypt has Mo Salah, who some are saying is the best player in the Premier League this year, depending upon the criteria. Iceland's always a fun story. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are going to bring all kinds of juice and energy. So I think there's a lot of things to look forward to. And you know, I can't wait for it, honestly, because there's going to be new heroes formed and there's going to be new sort of legendary sort of performances from both individuals and teams. Anything else?
No, that's all. I'm gonna hang up.
I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you excited, Dale, because it is gonna be fun.
Hey, you're gonna be pumped. I'm gonna go look up Egypt.
Look up Egypt and Mo Salah. Do it. 713-780-3776. Come on, there's so much to be excited about. Let's go to Juan. Juan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Glenn. First-time caller representing Clutch City Peña Real Madrid here in Houston.
Very nice.
My question for the World Cup is, with so many giants missing, can we expect small countries to make a huge progress, maybe a similar situation like how Costa Rica did in the last World Cup? Or with these many giants missing, will the remaining giants just take advantage and just clear house? Like, that's my question to you. Regarding with all these giants missing and all seeing all these small countries with their, like, maybe one or two or three superstars, for example, Egypt with Salah.
So when you say giants missing, who are you talking about? You're talking about the Netherlands. You're talking about Ghana. I don't know if the U.S. is a giant, but we're definitely a country that's always there.
Well, U.S. is always someone to watch out in the World Cup. I guess I'm talking Netherlands, Italy, Chile. Yeah. Big names that really missed out and have stellar teams.
Yeah, I would say you answered your own question. I think it's both. I think every single World Cup brings us these magical teams that go on a magical run. And even if they don't win the World Cup, they get into the knockout stages and provide incredible entertainment. They draw fans. These stories are remarkable. But I don't think there's any question for me. It's going to be a dominant country that wins it. It's going to be a Brazil. It's going to be a Germany. I think France are maybe outsiders in it. Nobody's going to count Argentina out until we actually get to it, although after yesterday, a lot of people are. I'm looking at the groups in front of me here, and, you know, there's Spain still. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be one of the great traditional nations. But what we also have to remember is how you get into this tournament. In other words, what happens to key players? Is anybody injured ahead of time? Like, look at England, you know, the complexion of their World Cup is very different, whether Harry Kane is healthy or not and at full fitness. France has got a boatload of players. Deschamps came out after having a 2-0 lead and then losing 3-2 to Colombia, saying the team has a level of cockiness that has to be eliminated. Yet we know how talented they are. But I think it's going to be one of the top soccer playing nations, those traditional giants. But they're going to be great storylines. There will be upsets, and I also think that there's a lot to do with momentum in this thing. Remember, it's a short tournament format that determines the best team in the world. Every single touch of the ball is vital. One moment can change the absolute course and direction of the tournament. But I think you're right on two fronts, so appreciate that phone call very much. All right, let's go to Adam. Adam, what's on your mind?
And this is Adam. I'm a first-time caller.
Very good, Adam.
I actually played for the Houston Dynamo Academy, so I have a little bit of soccer experience.
Excellent.
I'm a little older now.
Excellent.
But my question was mainly about the U.S. soccer team, and I kind of wanted your opinion on how you think U.S. youth soccer needs to change in order to, get a stronger national team. Because, like, you see these smaller island countries competing with, like, a large country like the United States, which is, like, a little bit counterintuitive given, like, the infrastructure advantage the United States should have to develop these youth players to see, like, more success on, like, the international stage. So it's a little bit of a complex question. I know there's no, like, straightforward answer, but
yeah.
I just wanted to see what your opinion was.
But it's a wonderful question, and I'm glad you asked it. Okay, so there's a couple of things. I called the under-17 and under-20 World Cup, and you saw some of these guys last night. There is some excellent talent coming through, and a lot of this talent is now in Europe as well. So their development's getting accelerated. As we know, 16 to 18 is vital. This is where young players have to be around men and in highly professional environments. Now, you asked me how the landscape changes in this country, and as large as the United States is, it makes it very complicated because we have all these differing groups who are the ones that believe they have the idea for player development. There's a couple generalities I think that have to occur. I do like the breakup of what I think was a little bit of a concentric circle of people that were responsible for all our soccer decisions in this country and some very talented ones. But I think other people have to be brought to the table. I think we have to look at how we're training players in this country. Pay for play is not going away. So that's something that has to be worked with. How do you change an ideology to get people to focus on the technical side of the sport and not results with little kids? Incredibly complex, incredibly difficult. Not sure I know the answers, but it is a problem around the country. I do believe, again, differing thoughts and opinions have to be brought to the table. We have to reach out from the concentric circle of people that we've continually gone to. There are a lot of talented people out there. We got to think a little bit more creatively. And we got to hope that the healthy pressure on Major League Soccer teams to produce players in their academy is accelerated. And, there's varying levels of these academies now that are dealing with the so-called elite player, the one that could be in that small percentage that has a shot at becoming a pro. Those players have to be in setups that are serious, that accelerate maturity both on and off the field. And, the elite player, quote-unquote, in many ways, is entrusted to the MLS teams and their player development programs. And some are very good and some are not very good. And some are having resources put into them, some are not having resources put into them. That being said, there's other ways and other pathways to becoming a professional. All right, who we got next? That was a great question, and I appreciate that call. Thanks to all the first-time callers tonight. I love it. All right, let's go to Drew. Drew, what do you have?
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show, but my question is coming from the perspective of a Premier League fan. And I was looking at who's going to be in the World Cup, and Belgium came to mind. They have so many big stars, the Hazard brothers, Lukaku, Courtois, et cetera. And I just wanted to know your opinion on what how you like their chances in the next World Cup.
Oh, I think Belgium's got great chances. I think it's a roster, as you mentioned, that's got tremendous quality. It's got leadership and company. Any team that's got Hazard, excellent. I think this is Belgium's time to really make some noise in this. That's another team that I probably should have mentioned a few minutes ago. I mean, they're kind of on the fringe of maybe the Spains and the Germanys and all, a couple notches down, but certainly a team that can make some noise. Belgium's got a good group with Panama, Tunisia, and England. They're going to advance. I don't think any question. I think Panama's going to likely take lumps. They're going to be a team that defends deep. I think Belgium's in good stead. If they get the right team in the round of 16, they could be on their way to the quarterfinals. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? First-time caller. And I was just wondering, I don't really keep up with the Argentinian squad that much. So in talking to a bunch of buddies who, do keep up with, European soccer, there's, making the comment that Dybala wasn't even really being considered to be a part of the Argentina team that's going to go to a World Cup, and considering how they got demolished this past game, why isn't that being explored? Him being on the team, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much. It's a great comment. Messi himself said the reason Dybala is not as inclusive is because he plays the same position as Lionel Messi. Guys like Hernan Crespo, the former great striker, believe Dybala has to be a part of this. Now, this 6-1 loss, you never know. This may make a manager in Jorge Sampaoli look at Dybala differently. But he was not picked. Icardi also missed out. Another player that plays for Inter Milan. These are key guys. So, let's see what happens now when it comes to this squad. Why Dybala wouldn't be there, I don't know. Let's say Messi gets injured. Wouldn't you want to plug Dybala in? Can Sampaoli figure out a way to play both of them? I don't know. But all I know is the balance was a mess. The balance was a mess in that team against Spain. And Argentina is good going forward. Argentina, when they lose the ball, not so much. And it's a problem. All right, we're going to take a break. I've got right now a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash Friday night. They're taking on Utah. A pair of tickets right now at 713-780-3776. If you're the fifth caller, you get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash Utah Royals. A boatload of internationals will be on display for that game. And as we go to break, I remind you that as a host of Soccer Matters, Dynamo back in action against New England this Saturday. No better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light. Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery over on the east side of I-10. Put on your Dynamo Orange. Grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light. Show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer that you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, an official beer of the Houston Dynamo and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Stay with me. We'll come back. Again, we'll take phone calls, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Otto returns it for Tyler Adams. Whistle, Bobby Wood will step up. Bobby Wood, go! U.S. leads!
All right, my friends, J.P. Della Camera, Tony Miola on the call last night. Tyler Adams of the New York Red Bulls, 19 years of age. Absolutely wonderful young talent. Interviewed after the game. I'm going to play some of his sound in a little bit. We'll take phone calls at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Look, you got to watch the World Cup in crystal clear television. In fact, you got to watch it in 4K video technology. The World Cup is approaching. It's time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. All right, I highly recommend Jesse. 281-506-7822. Email him, jesse@ths3inc.com. Or go to his website, www.ths3inc.com. Now, he's got 20 years of experience. He does home theater for the stars. I'm not going to mention some of the people that he does it for, but it's a lot of athletes you know in Houston as well. And they can do it all. Home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, and home audio. Get the new home theater. Get it in time for the World Cup in Russia. Have them come out. Get a quote. And get yourself set up for what is going to be an amazing summer with the 2018 FIFA World Cup. You are not going to want to miss it. Also, quick reminder here for Kings Court. It's a real soccer pub in Edo. The Kings Court right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. Go down there and say hello to Jay. They got 13 TVs. They got a giant big screen. Kings Court shows the Premier League, La Liga, Champions League. They'll have that on next week. They'll have the Dynamo New England game. And that's where everybody goes before Dynamo and Dash games, the Kings Court. So get over there. It's a good time before the game. Sometimes Eddie Robinson and I pop in after for a bite to eat or a beer. El Batallón's in there. It's good fun. They got an extensive selection of spirits. Wonderful pub food. Butter chicken is killer. So is the curry. Get over to Jay and Kings Court. Say hello to Jay. Visit the amazing rooftop deck. It's Kings Court TX. flathouston.com. And also a quick thank you to theflathouston.com. My buddy DJ Sun, The Flat is in the Houston Montrose area. It's the home of the best local, national, international DJs. They got a great vibe over there. It's a fun place to go. It's kind of unique in its own way. They got an incredible frozen mojito if you are inclined to like the frozen drink. And it's the perfect setup over there. DJ Sun himself will spin as well. But they got great DJs over there. Just a really cool, low-key vibe. FlatHouston.com. The Flat DJ Sun, my buddy. All right, so who do we get on the phone lines here? Let's go to Mark. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on, bud?
How are you, Mark?
Good, good. I just want to touch bases on the Spain-Argentina game. I'm a huge Argentina fan, you know, from a while back and stuff like that. And, you know, with all the attacking players that Argentina has, all the superstar players that they have, you know, there's no reason they should only score one goal. But I know Messi's not there and Aguero's not there or whatever. But speaking on what I think a previous caller was talking about, you know, why Dybala is not there or Icardi, you know, that's what I'm asking. Because if you knew Messi wasn't going to play the two friendlies, or, you know, and of course Aguero wasn't going to play, but they had the first game in Manchester, so I understood why he was there training or whatever. Why wouldn't you have those two guys up there, you know, with the squad, you know, in case of a injury or something going on like that? Because if you look at the front six, Glenn, to be honest, if they played a 4-2 or a 3-3 up front or whatever, I mean, you have De Maria, you have Higuain, you have
No, they've got a rich and wealth and riches of attacking talent, and they've struggled when the ball's lost in transition, and they've struggled to defend, and that's the worry. And I agree with you on Dybala. Why not let him play in that number 10 role in case something happens to Messi in the tournament?
I think as a coach, you should be able to switch tactically depending on what the opponent is doing, you know, or, you know, if something in the first half doesn't work out, let's move up to the second half. And I know Messi doesn't play the same way in Argentina as he plays in Barcelona, because I know Messi's more of that 10, and he distributes whatever, like, I guess, you know, like an attacking midfielder or whatever. But then, you know, if that's not working out, move him up front like they have in Barcelona, so you can play Dybala on the wing like they used to do with Neymar with Messi, you know, and have more speed and more of a, you know, attacking presence from the wings and stuff like that. Because, I mean, Higuain, Aguero, I mean, you know, they have a wealth of center forwards, you know, and they hold the ball well and they score the goals and stuff like that. But, I mean, attacking from wide and from each and every way, I think it's more of a way to go, especially when you know you need to score a lot of goals, because obviously Argentina's defense isn't up to par with their attacking players. But
well, the way you protect your weakness, which in this case is when they don't have the ball, is to have the ball more than your opponent. So, you know, obviously possession against Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria is going to be important. Iceland's going to sit back. I don't think there's any question. Nigeria will be a little bit more open. Croatia will have a good team shape. So, you know, you got to hide some of your deficiencies. But it was a little scary how poor that game was yesterday and how turned around they got. I mean, you know, it's a dangerous sign when teams are turned facing, running towards their own goal. I mean, when they're turned that easily, it's a little bit scary. So I don't know how Sampaoli is going to be able to create some balance here. There is no doubt that you're going to hope you have the ball for the most of the time, so that when that ball's lost in those 2 or 3 seconds, you know, you've got to recover or get pressure on the ball. I mean, you got to figure out how you're going to do it. But it was pretty messy. I don't know what that's called, but whatever. It was
no pun intended.
No pun intended. Thank you. Thank you, Jose. It's a problem. They have some time, but it does seem a little bit scary right now. And this was a team, remember, that got to the World Cup final in 2014.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, I was watching it with a friend yesterday, and you know, they seemed, well, you know, when Otamendi scored the goal before the first half ended, whatever, they seemed kind of like okay. But then as soon as Isco scored that third goal, they seemed kind of like here we go again, you know. Because, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, they're holding midfields and their defense is just, they're getting kind of long in the tooth, and they're not, and, you know, I know they kind of rely on, like, the Argentinian league to get their players for the back end or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're ready for the bright lights like that, but we'll see, I guess.
Well, it's cast a little bit of doom and gloom over Argentina right now, and you know, that whole storyline of Messi. But in another way, for those that aren't as invested as you, it's going to be interesting to see if they can recover, become a bit better balanced, a bit better defensively without the ball, to counter, you know, their ability with the ball. And by the way, you're talking about Spain, who's as good with the ball as you are. Okay, Iceland will not be as good as Argentina with the ball. Nigeria won't. Croatia won't. So that's their Group D. So that'll kind of make it interesting. Although Croatia and Nigeria, teams to be respected, and Iceland in their own way has to be respected. They sit back and defend deep, but I don't think Argentina is going to have a problem with them unless they just struggle to break down the deep defending teams. Thank you very much for that phone call. I appreciate it. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. James, what's on your mind tonight, James? Give me something good.
Well, I'd like to give a little bit more background for those that don't know about Argentina and the player selection problems they had over the last 10 years and the Messi era. Traditionally, there's been a lot of good players that have been left out of the World Cup. And, for example, before last World Cup, Carlos Tevez was one of the leading goal scorers in Champions League with Juventus, and certainly was on the team because there's been rumors and this is true, that Messi would want to have Messi and friends. And when Argentina lost to Germany, there's a couple of plays that would have been perfect for Tevez to be part of that system and finish those goals. And
yeah, but look, Tevez came with his own baggage as well. And by the way, it's Messi's team, James. So, I mean, these are all part and politics of every selection of every national team. Every national team can say that there's guys that should be there. Every national team has guys that say that they didn't make the team because of the political set up in the team. I mean, that's just natural. There's a pecking order. There's coaches who have friends and put them on the team. There's agents involved who are greasing people's palms to get guys on World Cup teams because of the financial side of it. So, I mean, look, I get it. Apache's a great player, and he may have been cut out because of politics. Or, you know, look, Jan van Beveren, who passed away with the great Dutch national team, Johan Cruyff didn't want him on the team. That's the rumor. And he was the best Dutch goalkeeper. Cruyff wanted, I can't remember his name, because he was better off his line and playing outside the 18. Jan Youngblood was his name. So I think, as much as I like your point, I think this is a point that comes with literally every national team.
No, but Glenn, it's deeper than that with Argentina. And let's move on from that point. Argentina is a coach that has a backbone and will say, this is who I feel, this is who I want, and do the best for that country, just like Brazil has a new coach. And certainly Brazil has turned the page because the Corinthian coach, who is now the Brazilian coach, is one that controls his locker room, one that is not going to let Neymar run the show. And certainly Brazil has turned the page.
Well, Brazil's already proven that Neymar is not necessarily as big a focal point. I mean, they can win the World Cup without Neymar, in my opinion.
No, and they can. But the whole point is that Argentina, they've selected Tata Martinez, that is from the same town as Messi, and he did whatever he wanted to. And unless it starts becoming Messi's team, or just bring in players that are really, there's too much corruption and there's too much other things intangible here to discuss. But, you know, they have to do what's best for that team. And there's a selection issue there in that country for whatever reason it is. And it's sad to see there's a lot of good players that are getting called up or are not getting called up. There's players that keep getting called up. Mascherano should not be there anymore. He's done. And they keep calling him up. And, you know, this is...
No, but, I mean, we could say that with some players on the U.S. national team. And We don't feel there's a deep conspiracy.
The results showed on the U.S. national side, and
yeah,
you know, they're in the World Cup, and they had they made it to the finals, and certainly could change things around. But again, you see the cycle coming over and over in Argentina, and they're not going to win the World Cup. I don't think they're going to compete, you know, unless Messi steps up again. And but again, my opinion is Messi's not Maradona, and I said that before, and I don't think it's going to happen for Argentina, and that's just my humble opinion.
Yeah, I think they're going to get out of their group, but yeah, after what we saw yesterday, it certainly puts and what we've seen before, quite frankly, from them. I don't think it was just yesterday. Yesterday was just had a lot of wow factor to it, I think, James, because of the annihilation and how poor they looked, and just, I mean, they were pulled all over the place. It was horrible. So. Anyway, there's a storyline to keep an eye on. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Hey, James, so there you go. Now, what I know about James, he loves Maradona, but I think he brings up a point that we do need to talk about, and we do need to recognize that the desire to make a World Cup squad and go to a World Cup, there is tons of politics on these teams. There are agents involved. If we want to get into the dark side, which I don't know. I don't want to go Harry Potter on you and do all that. All right, I got a read here that I got to do. And that read is for the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. A moment for John and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're our presenting sponsor. They are bilingual, 713-322-4878. Doesn't matter if you're in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. Daspit Law Firm going to treat your case as if it's their own. It is the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Thank you, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. All right. Nothing better than a little bit of Ozzy to break, right? Going to come back. We got a lot more to go here tonight. Great callers here. By the way, a lot of first-time callers. Right now, I got a three-pack to the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Three tickets to the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. We'll give it to the 10th caller in honor of Tomas Martinez.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Coming out with a high across. Jesus! And the keeper is parried, and it's in the back of the net now, though. Jesus takes the acclaim. Brazil lead.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. That would be the lone goal as Brazil would beat Germany. They'd break a 23 or 24-game winning streak. Seven changes from Yogi Löw, the German national team coach, who was not at all concerned about that 1-0 loss. On the other hand, great psychological win for Brazil, exercising the demons from the massacre in Mineiro in 2014, so that's positive. So, you know, teams can take different things out of these matches. Quick word here. Evening with Alex Stepney. Now, he's the great former Manchester United goalkeeper and England goalkeeper. It's Friday, June 8th, 6:30 p.m. to midnight. It's an incredible affair. It's set up by our good friend Tom Clare of the Houston Red Army. He's also a noted author. It's at the Doubletree by Hilton downtown on Dallas Street. Tickets, RSVP 281-520-0867, TomClaire346 at gmail.com. TomClaire, C-L-A-R-E, 346 at gmail.com. Tickets are $120. It's the full meal. It's the full Monty. Incredible stories. And it's a fundraiser for pediatric cancer, 501c charity, Curing Children's Cancer Fund. Tom and his wife, Cheryl, have set this up, and it's just wonderful the effort that's being put into this and the support we get. So we're hoping that we can get a ton of people out to this, raise some money for cancer. It was successful last year. We're looking to build on it this year. We need people to join in, so I'm hoping you will do that. With the World Cup rapidly approaching, time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. This is my friend Jesse. Now, he can come out to your house. He can give you a quote on your home theater installation. You want it, and you will get it with 4K video technology. Tap into Jesse's 20 years of experience. Jesse and THS can do it all. Home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, and home audio. A new home theater for the World Cup. You want to see all these star players. The greatest sporting event in the world in crystal clear television. Call Jesse, 281-506-7822. www.ths3inc.com or Jesse at ths3inc.com. And by the way, podcast at podcastarena.com. But you want to get your viewing situation settled for the World Cup, because there's going to be an awful lot of people getting sick for work during that time period. All right, Dynamo in action this weekend. And coming up in the second hour, we got some interviews. We'll start it off with Romel Kyoto of the Houston Dynamo. Then we'll go on to Brad Friedel, the legendary goalkeeper. Going to ask Brad about, you know, all these great coaches that he played under. Fatih Terim at Galatasaray. Men like Mauricio Pochettino, a younger manager. Some of the ideas he's maybe taken from them. The Revolution in town this weekend. They'll take on the Dynamo. That's a game you can catch on the Cube with Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself on the call for that. So it's a big one. We'll also have Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash on. The Dash will play on Friday night against Utah. So BBVA Compass Stadium going to be very, very busy. 713-780-3776. Biggest World Cup storyline for you is one of the things we're talking about. So the Dynamo against New England, they need a big bounce back to reestablish themselves. They had a very poor second half in D.C. From a scheduling perspective, they're going to have 2 weeks after this game. You're not going to want to be sitting around 2 weeks after not having a good performance, not getting a result, and not reclaiming your confidence. So I think in a strange way, there's some real pressure on this game. New England has a number of players that can make plays. Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, Christian Pena is one to keep an eye on. He's on loan from Pachuca. And likely, former Dynamo defender, it's possible Jahlil Anibaba will get a start in this one. The Dynamo clearly are working on being a better possession team, and the reality is that some of the teams are going to sit deeper against them. We know that. New England presses at different times, so that's going to make that an interesting game. But again, this... if teams are going to sit back against the Dynamo to honor Elise and potentially Kyoto when he starts again, and that type of counterattacking game and pace and thrust, it illustrates again the importance that the Dynamo must get the game's first goal. You got to get the game's first goal to control the tactical side of it. I don't think there's any question. So that's going to be important for the Dynamo. Now, it was interesting. They signed Jared Watts today, I think, for $100,000 of TAM money to Colorado. Now, Watts is a big, tall guy, and he's a guy that has played as a holding midfielder and as a center back. I believe it's cover there in the center back position. The right back position, though, somebody athletic that can go box to box. The Dynamo needs somebody there. I don't think that's any question. All right, I think we got to take a break here. I'm seeing the sign. Do we got to take a break here, Jose? We're breaking. Host of Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis. That's me. Dynamo back in action. What better way to celebrate than with a nice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas with the beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light, brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light. Show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, official beer of the Houston Dynamo. It's Bud Light. Apsley Bespoke, thank you for... hooking me up with the great suits. Absolutely love them. Just wanted to give a shout out to Apsley. Purchased a couple of their suits while I was over in Hong Kong. It was a fun experience. Apsley Bespoke. You've seen me putting them out on Twitter. And again, Get your home theater situation sorted out. My buddy Jesse, www.ths3inc.com. We'll take a break. More to come. We'll take a King's Court break. Coming up is Dynamo striker Ramel Kyoto.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.